In recent years, there has been an ongoing discussion concerning Derech HaLimud, or the method of learning. To the uninitiated student in yeshiva, this is a somewhat foreign and hazy concept. What is exactly meant by a Derech HaLimud? And why is a Derech HaLimud necessary? Well, the necessity of a Derech HaLimud can be explained as follows. Imagine a person who has never played tennis before being placed on a tennis court, handed a racket, and told to return balls hit in his direction. Chances are that at the beginning, he will be a big failure. Only over time will he eventually pick up the game and begin to succeed at it. Eventually, he'll probably be able to hit the ball back over the net, but even so, he will have some severe disadvantages in his game. First of all, there are probably some areas of his game which will never develop. He may possibly overuse his forehand. He'll never really develop a backhand. And probably he'll never really develop other areas of his game as well. Additionally, and perhaps more importantly, lacking an understanding in what he is doing will of necessity prevent his growth. Without having a vision of perfection, he will be unaware of what must be done to improve his game. Eventually, his development will be stunted. But not so the player who has been given lessons and trained in the game of tennis. He, having been given a vision of perfection, can perfect his swing and develop other areas. Knowing what he is supposed to be doing, he has a clear idea of what areas need work and what others do not. His sole limitations are in his own natural talents and his own coordination. So it is with learning Gemara. The uninitiated Talmud, when confronted with a sugya, experiences a certain amount of frustration and confusion. At the beginning, he is certainly ill-equipped to properly work out the issues. But over time, like our tennis player, he'll be able to chisel out for himself an ability to understand some issues. But there are some areas which he will never be able to tackle. For example, he may find that he is successful in explaining a machlekes rishonim as being totally on a machlekes achronim. But that will only help if he has yedias in that area and knows of a pertinent machlekes achronim to the machlekes rishonim he is studying. But without any yedias in that area, he will be at a loss. These are issues he'll never be able to tackle. In this way, his potential for growth will be limited. But not so a Talmud with a Derech HaLimud. With a Derech HaLimud, a Talmud is trained with tools of analysis to be able to analyze difficult issues. Like our tennis player, who has been taught basic fundamentals in playing tennis, our Lamdan will have received basic fundamentals in the art of learning. He will have a vision of what a good piece of analysis is supposed to be. In this, he has enormous potential for growth. He has a clear vision of what he should be shooting for, how far he can go. And in this sense, he will be well ahead of his counterparts. Okay, so much for the why a Derech HaLimud. The next question is, of course, what is actually meant by a Derech HaLimud? The Derech HaLimud in use today in most yeshivas, certainly in the Litvish world and to a large measure in the Hasidish world, is that Derech HaLimud which was developed and propagated by Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, who died some 80 years ago, and served as a Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin, and as the Rav of the city of Brisk. This Derech HaLimud is most commonly known as the Brisker Derech, after the city which Reb Chaim served as Rav, or some may refer to it as the Lomdische Derech. The basic format of this Derech HaLimud is as follows. First, we examine specific halachic matter. We break it down into its raw essentials. And having done that, we categorize those essentials into a language of abstractions. And having categorized the halacha into a language of abstractions, we arrive at a clearer understanding of the halacha itself. Sound complicated? Well, then let's simplify it. Or, so to speak, let's lumdicize it. Let's categorize this Derech HaLimud into a language of abstractions. My father-in-law, Rabbi Yehuda Parnas, Rosh Yeshiva and Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, once described Reb Chaim's Derech HaLimud as vertical analysis, or let's call it definitional analysis, or let's put them together. Let's call it vertical definitional analysis. What is meant is the following. We dig down, we break down the halacha deeper and deeper, vertically, digging deeper and breaking down the halacha into its various parts. And we define those parts. By giving that those parts of definition, we arrive at an understanding of what the halacha means. That's the idea. Vertical definitional analysis. Vertical, digging down, going deeper, going to the nucleus of the halacha. And definitional, defining those various parts of the halacha, giving them a definition, classifying them, and through that, we arrive at a clearer and more definite understanding of the halacha itself. Does all that sound difficult and complicated? Actually, the opposite is true. For Reb Chaim actually simplified the learning process. As an Adam Godel told me, Reb Chaim saved learning for the 20th century. Let's take a look at what was before Reb Chaim and see what Reb Chaim actually introduced to the learning process. When we examine the language of the Rishonim, we find them often using a language that is somewhat balabatish and somewhat soft. This is not due to any lack of precise understanding on their part of the halacha. Quite the contrary. Due to their clarity of mind and their natural incisive ability, they perceived even the most difficult of svaras almost intuitively. They essentially intuited even the most basic and complicated of svaras. The Achronim, who followed the Rishonim, were more involved in what we could term comparative analysis. They compared sugyas and worked upon resolving what they perceived as being inconsistencies and contradictions within the halacha. Also, they engaged in cheshbon, calculations, with the goal of resolving and working out the conclusions of the various sugyas. Now, in order to do that, you need to be, what we could say in Yiddish, a grace agoyim. You need massive yediyas. You need yediyas all over Shas to be able to find those contradictions, to be able to resolve those contradictions, to compare the sugyas, to bring in the pertinent and relative sugyas in order to resolve these inconsistencies. Also, you need those calculative abilities to be able to work out and work through all of the various cheshbonos in the sugya, all the calculations in the sugya, in order to arrive at those results. And that's all well and good during the time of the Gedolei Achronim, when you had numbers of people with massive yediyas, numbers of people with these unique calculative abilities. But by the time of Reb Chaim, learning was already on the wane. Less and less were there people with these massive yediyas. Less and less were there people with these calculative abilities. So Reb Chaim said, let's go back to the Rishonim. Or as he himself said in Yiddish, unser malacha is zu verstehen der Rishonim. Our task is to understand the Rishonim. Let's go back to the Rishonim. Let's analyze their language, which seems, as we said before, so balabatish and imprecise. Let's analyze the halachas themselves and their svaras, which, as we said before, the Rishonim simply intuited. And let's spell out the svaras. Let's express these svaras in a more precise language, precisely defining the essence of the halacha. Now this saved learning for the 20th century. But no longer was it necessary for a Talmud to have broad yediyas and kol ha'tera kula. All he needs are tools of analysis. Nadam Godel once told me that Reb Chaim made it possible for a 17-year-old bacher to answer Reb Akiva Eger's kasha. And the truth is, we can understand this. Because with this Derech HaLimud, we go right to the heart of the sugya. We look at the immediate information, analyze it, and define it, thereby arriving at a clear understanding of the halacha. This was a clear departure from the Derech HaLimud which was in vogue at the time of Reb Chaim, and he encountered some stiff opposition. In fact, Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak Halevi Ruderman Zatzal, Rosh Yeshivas Nei Yisrael, once told me a story involving Reb Chaim, where he was at a chasana, and one of Reb Chaim's well-known opponents was the officiating Rav at the chasana. So after the marriage ceremony, the Rav, under the chuppah, began to darshan, and he said over a shtickel Torah. And when he finished his shtickel Torah, he said, Vishtikal Torah is roy to be said over in Shemayim. Vishtikal Torah is suitable. It is of such high quality that it's suitable to be said over in Shemayim. So what did Reb Chaim do? Reb Chaim began to ask questions. He asked him a kash from here, a kash from there. He asked him this, he asked him that. Incisive questions. Getting right to the heart of the sugya. Asking difficult problems. So finally, the Rav had to withdraw Vishtikal Torah. And he told me another story, a story involving a Talmud of Reb Chaim, Rabbi Avram Shapiro, the Dvar of Rome, the Kovner Rav, who was learning one time with one of Reb Chaim's major critics. And they reached a difficult sugya. So
They struggled. They thought about it. Each one said a svara, but that wasn't good. He said a svara, that wasn't good. Finally, the opponent of Reb Chaim's asked the Dvar Avram, what's pshat? What's like Reb Chaim? What does Reb Chaim say about this sugya? So the Dvar Avram was about to tell him, and then he thought for a moment and said, no. He said, you think about it a little bit. He said, I'll tell you soon. You think about it. So he came back tomorrow. He thought about it. Didn't have a teretz. So he said to the Dvar Avram, what's pshat? So the Dvar Avram said, no, you still think about it. Same thing happened the next day, the next day. Finally, the Dvar Avram told him. But this time, that Adam Godel appreciated what Reb Chaim had to say. Reb Chaim had to win a big victory, and he had to win it against clear opposition. But in the end, Reb Chaim won the day, and as we said before, the Brisker Derech is the Derech HaLimud in vogue in virtually all the yeshivas around the world today. And there's another way Reb Chaim saved learning for the 20th century. In the 20th century, science came into its own. Scientific analysis became more and more attractive to the modern world. And there was a danger that Torah would lose its intellectual appeal. Reb Chaim's Derech Limud has a scientific quality. Its emphasis on precision and its usage of exact terminology all give Reb Chaim's method of learning a certain similarity to scientific analysis. By introducing a scientific quality into Torah study, Reb Chaim allowed Torah to retain its rightful prestige even to the contemporary student. So much for a little introduction to Reb Chaim's Derech HaLimud. Now let's take a look at how Reb Chaim employed his Derech HaLimud to solve and answer some difficult Rambams. The Rambam in Perek Chof of Hilchas Eidus, Halacha Dalet, is discussing the din of Edim Zemimin. Edim Zemimin are witnesses who are caught as liars to Beis Din by another set of witnesses who claim to Beis Din it is impossible for these witnesses to know the testimony which they have testified to Beis Din. For Imanu Ha'isim Be'isa Yoyim, you, the first witnesses, were with us on that day, and therefore you are in no position to know the Eidus you claim to know. The Rambam says as follows, Ve'ein le'edim zememin shkaga, l'fi she'ein ba'masa. There is no case of Edim Zememin of accidental violation of the law of Edim Zememin, for it does not contain an action. There is no action in the violation of the law of Edim Zememin. Lefichach ein tzrichim hasra. Therefore, Edim Zemimin do not require a hasra. They do not require a warning in order to receive malchus for having violated the law of Edim Zemimin. Normally, hasra is only given kdei lahavkin bin shayig lemezid, to differentiate between a willful violator of a prohibition and between one who does so by accident. In the case of Edim Zemimin, it is unnecessary to have a warning in order to give malchus to Edim Zemimin, for there is no case of an accidental violation of this prohibition. So the Ravid understood the Rambam to mean that the reason why Edim Zemimin is considered Ein Ba'maisa is because it's done through Dibor. And Dibor is not considered a Maisa. So the Ravid asks on the Rambam that we find Kama Averis, Kama Lavin, whose violation is done through Dibor, through speaking, and Afal Pikein requires Hasra. So we see it isn't considered a Maisa to be Mechayev Hasra. So why is Edim Zemimin any different? Reb Chaim answered as follows. Enochinami, if the Mechayev of Edim Zemimin, if that which would obligate the Edim Zemimin in Malkus would be the Dibur, would be the Edis which the Edim gave and based in, then Enochinami, that would be considered a Maisa, and it would require Hasra. But the Mechayev of Edim Zemimin is not the Dibur that they gave and based in. It is not the Edis that they gave and based in. The Mechayev of Edim Zemimin is because they are Edim Zemimin. That itself, that they have been paskened and based in to be Edim Zemimin, that they've been paskened and based in to be Edim who have been caught as liars through another set of Edim coming forward and saying, Imanu Hayisim Be'isa Yoyim, that itself is Mechayiv the Edim Zemimin in Malkus. Or as Reb Chaim put it, the shame Edim Zemimin is Mechayiv. Now note what has happened over here. By using this definitional analysis, we have resolved an apparent inconsistency in the halacha. We have defined the Mechayiv of Edim Zemimin in such a way that it has answered the Ravid's kasha. Now here's another example of Reb Chaim using almost exactly the same concept to resolve another difficulty raised by the Ravid. Chamisha hein hanikroi minim. There are five people who are considered to be minim. Minim, says the Rambam in Halacha Vov, are people who do not have a chelik in Olam Haba. One of the five, says the Rambam, is a Oimer Sheyesh Shem Ribay Nechod. There is only one master of the world. Aval Shehu Guf Uval Tamuna. But he has a body, and he has a form. So the Ravid asks, Lama Kar Lazeh Min? Why does the Rambam refer to this person as a Min? V'kama gedolim toivim imenu, holchu bezua machshava, lufi ma'asher uba mikrois. There are many other gedolim who were persuaded into a belief that a Kaddish Baruch Hu has a goof because of the many anthropomorphological references to a Kaddish Baruch Hu in the Torah. So why, says the Ravid, why is this person considered to be a min and to lose Olam Haba? He's basically an oinus. He's not at fault. He was simply fooled into this belief by his misunderstanding of what it says in the Torah. Reb Chaim said as follows. The Ravid has understood the halacha that a min doesn't have chelek l'olam haba to be begidrei oinshin, to be a result of the laws, to be subject to the laws of punishment. And we know in the laws of oinshin and the laws of punishment that oinus rechmana patri, that an oinus is pater from oinshin. So this person who through no fault of his own has arrived at an incorrect belief in the nature of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, why should he be subject to the oinish of losing Olam Haba? He's an oinus. But the Rambam's understanding is not that way. It's not the pshat that a min doesn't get Olam Haba as a punishment for his belief. No. The reason why a min doesn't have Olam Haba is because that's the halacha. A min, someone who does not have a correct and proper belief of the nature of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, he doesn't have Olam Haba. Or as Reb Chaim himself put it in Yiddish, a nebuch apikers is oichu napikers. A min, a person who has an incorrect belief in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, doesn't get Olam Haba. It's a din. It's a halacha. It's not a function of the laws of schar v'oinish. It's a halacha. It's a din. That a min doesn't have Olam Haba. Now once again, what have we done? We have defined the din that a min doesn't have Olam Haba in a certain way in which we have resolved the kash of the Ravid. We have solved the problem of the Ravid by simply using our definitional analysis. By defining the halacha, we have arrived at a solution to the Ravid's kasha. Now let's take a look at another famous piece from Reb Chaim in Hilchos Gezeila V'Aveda, Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. There the Rambam is referring to the law of Leisachmoit, that you shouldn't covet your neighbor's chefetz. And the Rambam says the following, Vein loikin al lavze mipnei she'ein boin maisa. We do not receive malchus for the lav of leisachmoid because its violation does not entail an action. The only prohibitions in the Torah which are mechayev malchus are those prohibitions whose violation are done through an action. The violation of the lav of leisachmoid, says the Rambam, is not mechayev malchus because it is not done through an action. But the Rambam also says, Ve'enu oiver belav zed sheikach hachefet shechama. But the Rambam also says that you have not been considered to have violated the law of Leisachmoid until you take or until you purchase the object which you have coveted. So the Ravid asks, Le'ra'isi tema godl mizeh, ve'heichon maisa godl minatila sechefetz. How can the Rambam say that the law of Leisachmoid is a law she'en by maisa? The Rambam himself says in the next line that you do not violate the law of Leisachmoid until you take the chefetz which you have coveted. So the lav leisachmoid is a lav sheish by maisa. So how does the Rambam say that the lav leisachmoid is a lav shein by maisa? So Reb Chaim says as follows: Ein achinami, the lav leisachmoid is a lav shein by maisa. The lav leisachmoid is a lav whose violation takes place through a coveting in the heart. But nonetheless, that coveting that violates the prohibition of leisachmoid must have a certain intensity, or as Reb Chaim put it, it must have a shear of coveting, a shear chemda. And without that shear, without that intensity, he is not considered to have violated the lav of leisachmoid. And what is that intensity? What is that shear? When he takes the chefet shel chaveri. Again, the lav of leisachmoid in hachinami is a lav shein b'maisa. Because its violation takes place through what? Through the heart, through a coveting in the heart. But it must have a certain intensity. And that intensity is measured through the shear of when he takes a chefet shel chaveri. That is when he violates the law of leisachmid. Now notice what has happened here. The Ravid has raised what seems to be an inconsistency in the Rambam. On the one hand, the Rambam has said that the law of leisachmid is a law she'ein bo maisa. And on the other hand, the Rambam says you do not violate the law of leisachmid until you do a maisa. How did we solve it? By a definition. By defining leisachmid in such a way that it solved the problem. By saying that the law of leisachmid is not violated until it reaches a sheer chemda, we have answered the Ravid's kasha. Now one might ask at this point, why is the law of leisachmid that way? Why is it that you are not considered to have violated the law of leisachmid until your covenant reaches the intensity that you take chefet shel chaver? Well, that's a very good question. But to tell you the truth, we are not going to concern ourselves with solving that question at the moment. Because that question is not a halachic question. It's not a legal question. In this Derech HaLimud, we will concern ourselves only with questions concerning the definition of the halacha itself, understanding the din, and clarifying it. But the motivations of the halacha, and the reasons for the halacha, these are not halachic or legal issues. These are philosophical issues, issues subject to speculation, and not subject to the analysis of this Derech HaLimud. Remember, in this Derech HaLimud, we never speculate. We simply define the halachic matter as we see it. We are always seeking to define the known so as to clarify it, not to reveal the unknown. Delving into the unknown is speculation, and we are not engaging in speculation. One may also suggest another explanation in the Rambam. We could suggest the following. Enochinami, the law of leisachmid is in fact the law of shein by maisa, as it is done through the coveting of the heart. However, there is a tnai, a condition. The condition is leisachmid would be a law of shein by maisa, but a veris alav, that's conditional on taking the chafetz. In fact, we could almost ask this as a kashan, Reb Chaim. Why did Reb Chaim explain leisachmid with the unusual chitin leisachmid as having a sheer chemda? The law of leisachmid is a coveting in the heart, with a tnai, that the person must take the object. Doesn't that contain precise definition, along with an exact use of language, so crucial to the brisket erich? The answer is that to say this would in fact be a misapplication of the process of the brisket derech. Bringing down something into its smaller parts is fine, provided there are smaller parts. Here we have no hints or any xeris akosif suggesting any area for breakdown. We have simply the Rambam's stark statement, kol ha-chomed avdai oy amosai oy beisai v'kelev shel chaveri oy dover she'ef shalai shiknei mimenu the Rambam has simply said that all of this is contained in the law of leisachmid. What was necessary here was a clear definition of leisachmid, which would contain both the ingredient of leisachmid as being a law shein bo maisa, as well as what the Rambam says, that one doesn't violate leisachmid except through taking the object he covets. This is precisely what Reb Chaim has done. Okay, here's one more example of definitional analysis. An analysis of the Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchei Sefer Torah produces the following. There are in the Torah two distinct mitzvahs of Ksiva Sefer Torah. There is one mitzvah contingent on every member of Klal Yisrael to write for himself a Sefer Torah. And then there is a second mitzvah, a mitzvah whose obligation is solely on the Melech. The Melech has a chiyuv to write a Sefer Torah. Now neither the Melech nor any member of Klal Yisrael can fulfill his mitzvah either through purchasing a Sefer Torah or inheriting it. He must write the Sefer Torah. In Perek Zayin of Hilchos Sefer Torah Lecha Gimel, the Rambam states clearly that if at the time the Melech becomes king he does not possess a Sefer Torah, he must write two Sefer Torah. He cannot write one Sefer Torah to fulfill both mitzvahs. For each mitzvah he is obligated to write an individual Sefer Torah. He cannot fulfill both mitzvahs at once with one Sefer Torah. However, in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam says clearly, "Im lehinichu le'avosav, koisev beis Sefer Torah." If he inherits no Sefer Torah from his father, he must write two Sefer Torah, one to fulfill the mitzvah on every member of Klal Yisrael, and one to fulfill his obligation as king. But the implication is that if he inherits one Sefer Torah, he does not have to write two Sefer Torah. One is enough. And the question is obvious. This contradicts what the Rambam said before. Before, the Rambam said that when the Melech becomes king, if he had no Sefer Torah at the time, he has to write two Sefer Torah. It must be that he can't be Yaitzeh with one Sefer Torah. Both mitzvahs. If so, when he inherits one Sefer Torah, how can he be Yaitzeh both mitzvahs with one writing? Remember, according to the Rambam, he must write the Sefer Torah. Inheritance will not help for Kima Mitzvah. So why, when he inherits one Sefer Torah, can he fulfill his obligation with one Sefer Torah? He should have to write two Sefer Torah. One Sefer Torah to be Yaitzeh the Mitzvah Kol Echad B'Yisroel, and another Sefer Torah to be Yaitzeh the Mitzvah on the Melech. So in Brisk they say as follows. There is no din that a king can't be Yaitzeh with one Sefer Torah. Really, he could be Yaitzeh with one Sefer Torah. Rather, what we say is that the Mitzvah on the Melech is to write a second Sefer Torah. He must write an additional Sefer Torah to one he already has. As the Torah says, "V'chosav lo'yis mishnei Torah zois," his mitzvah is to write a second Sefer Torah. Therefore, if he has no Sefer Torah, he must write two Sefer Torah. With the first, he is yaitzeh the mitzvah in every member of Klal Yisrael, and then he has to write an additional one, a second one, to fulfill his mitzvah as melech. But if he inherits a Sefer Torah already, then he need write only one Sefer Torah, because with this one Sefer Torah, he fulfills both mitzvahs. With this one ksiva, he is writing an additional Sefer Torah, and therefore he can be yaitzeh not only the mitzvah called Echad v'Yisrael, but also the mitzvah on the Melech. Now note once again the definitional analysis. Through defining the mitzvah ksiva Sefer Torah on the Melech, we have solved an apparent contradiction in the Rambam. Let me close here with the following short comment. We stated before that with this Derech HaLimud, what we are seeking to do is define the known. In that sense, all that is ever really necessary is to apply the process correctly and to accurately define the subject matter. Correctly done, the result will always be a clear and accurate description of the halacha itself. In this sense, the process is infallible. And if we will encounter difficult Torah, which is a product of this process, it is because the process has not been accurately applied. Someone has erred in his usage of the process. But as we said before, the process itself, this Derech HaLimud correctly applied, cannot fail. A couple of short pieces of my own, incorporating definitional analysis, appear on side two of this tape. Brachos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, says the following. Hekar B'Torah, person was reading the Parash of Kriya Shema from either a Sefer Torah or a Chumash, and it came the time for saying Kriya Shema. Im kivin libay yotza. If he's mechavin libay, he's yotze. Says the Rambam. Hakere Shema, v'le kivin libay b'posak rishon, shehu Shema Yisrael, le yotze yedei chay vasoy. V'hasha'arim le kivin libay yotza. A person who is reading Shema, and he wasn't mechavin libay for the first posak of Kriya Shema, which is Shema Yisrael, he's not yotzei the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. He has not fulfilled his obligation to say Kriya Shema. The Hashar and the rest of the three parashiyos, im lekivein liboy, if he was not mechavein liboy for the other three parashiyos of Kriya Shema, yotzei, that he is yotzei deichai vasoi. Afilu hayakar b'teira kedarkoi, even if he was reading from the Sefer Torah as he always does, or im magias aparashiyos, or he was checking the parashiyos in the Sefer Torah, be'oinas kriya, the time that he's reading, yotzei. V'hu shekivin libay b'pasuk rishon. As long as he was mechavin libay in the first pasuk of Kriya Shema, he is yotzei the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. What does the Rambam mean by kivin libay? Most achrayim, and in fact the Magid Mishnah, both in Perek Beis of Hilchos Shofar and in Perek Beis of Hilchos Megillah, learn that the Rambam shita is mitzvah tricheis kavona. A person, in order to be yotzei a mitzvah, has to be mechavin to fulfill his obligation. If he's not mechavein to fulfill his obligation when he does the action of the mitzvah, he's not yotzei the mitzvah. So what does the Rambam mean when he says, im kivein libo yotze?
is he referring to the din of mitzvah sriches kavana? If he is, so why is there only a halach of kavana salev on the first posuk? The other three parashiyos are also a mitzvah, and they also require kavana salev. Why wouldn't the other three parashiyos require kavana salev? Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph suggest that mitzvahs de Rabbanan do not require kavana to be yotze the mitzvah. The din of mitzvah sriches kavana is only said on mitzvahs deraisa. On mitzvahs de Rabbanan, there is no din of mitzvah sriches kavana. But that won't help us here, because the Rambam Shita very clearly is at the beginning of Perek Aleph of Hilchos Kriyashma that all three parashiyos are deraisa. So if all three parashas are deraisa, all three parashas require kavana salev. Why does the Rambam say that only the first pasuk needs kavana, not all three parashas? Ella, what can we say? That the Rambam, when he says im kivein libay, means something else. He's referring to kavanas apasuk, kavanas perish amilos. A person is mechaving to the meaning of the words. Only the first pasuk requires kavana for the meaning of the words. The other three parashas do not require as such. But even then, we're simply jumping out of the frying pan into the fire, because that would suggest that the entire mitzvah's kriyashma doesn't need kavana. And then the question is even stronger. Why is the whole mitzvah kriyashma, all three parashas, including the first posuk, why don't all of them require kavana to be yotze the mitzvah? Don't we pass in the din mitzvah sriches kavana? The truth is, we can bring a raya to the second parish in the Rambam, from the Rambam himself in Perish HaMishnayis. The Rambam on the Mishnah, Ha'umnin Karin B'Reisha Ilan U'V'Reisha Nidbuch, Umnin, who are workers, say Kriya Shema when they are on the top of a tree. Mash'inin Rishoyin Lasis Kain B'Tfilo. Mash'in Ken, they do not have to daven. Umnin, workers who are working at the top of a tree, are Mechuyiv in Kriya Shema, but are Potter from Tfilo. And the Rambam in Perish HaMishnayis explains the difference between Kriya Shema and Tfilo. Says the Rambam the following: Umasha also lehem shleis palalusham mipnei tir the salev. The tefillah requires a certain amount of kavana, requires attention. Umnin, who are on the top of a tree, cannot properly be mechaven because of tir the salev. Ukriyishma loytitz tarech lekavana salev ela posuk rishon bilvad. Kriyishma does not require kavana salev except in the first posuk. It's mashma from the Rambam that the concept of kavana salev is a reference to perish hamilos, to the explanation of the words. Because if the Rambam would be referring to the din of mitzvah sriches kavana, that l'chayr does not require too much kavana. And it's mashma that the difference between tefillah and kriyashma is that kriyashma simply requires kavana salev only in the first posuk. Tefillah requires kavana in the entire tefillah. If the reference is to tzrichas kavana, that seems to be a very small and minute type of kavana. That would not require very much tirud at all. So it's mashma from the Rambam that the kavana salev that's being referred to is the kavana to the perish hamilos, which means we need to understand in the Rambam why is there no din of mitzvah tzrichas kavana by kriyashma. The Rambam in Perek Tesvav of Hilchos Ishus, Halacha Dalid, outlines the mitzvah of Hiruviyah. And the Rambam says, "Kama banim yule ish v'tizkayim mitzvah zu biyodai zachru nekeva." How many children must a man have to be said to have been mekayim the mitzvah of piruviyah? Says the Rambam, "A zachru nekeva." You need two. Now the Rambam nowhere suggests that the only time you're mekayim mitzvah piruviyah is if you're mechaving bishas bia to be yaitse the mitzvah piruviyah. It's mashma from the Rambam that as long as you have children, both a boy and a girl, you are mechaving the mitzvah pre-reviyah, even though you are not mechaving to be yotzei the mitzvah. Why? What happened to the din of mitzvah yistrichas kavana? So maybe we could say the following. Mitzvah yistrichas kavana is a din because you have to have a maisa mitzvah. And the way to be koveya that something is a maisa mitzvah is through kavana. Through kavana, the person is mechavin that the maisa becomes a maisa mitzvah. But then we could say the following. It could be that the only time that you ever need kavana in a maisa mitzvah is when the kiyum ha-mitzvah is also in the maisa mitzvah. For example, netilas lulav. The maisa mitzvah of netilas lulav is to take a lulav. And the kiyum mitzvah also is your Mekayim the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. So the Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyum mitzvah are one and the same. Hanochas Tefillin. The Maisa mitzvah would be in putting on Tefillin. And what's the Kiyum mitzvah? Also in putting on Tefillin. The Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyum mitzvah are one and the same. But in the mitzvah of Pre-Revia, the Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyum mitzvah are different. The Maisa mitzvah would lichura be the Biyah. But the Kiyum mitzvah is not in the Biyah. The Kiyum mitzvah is in the having children. As the Rambam himself says, Kama banim yula ish v'tiskayim mitzvah zubi yodai. How many children must a man have to be said to have fulfilled his obligation of the mitzvah? The Kiyum mitzvah comes through the having of children. The Maisa mitzvah is the Biyah. Here, where the Kiyum mitzvah is outside the Maisa mitzvah, there is no din of mitzvah srichas kavona. Mitzvah srichas kavona is only necessary when the Kiyum mitzvah is in the same action as the Maisa mitzvah. But where the Kiyum mitzvah is outside the Maisa mitzvah, then there is no din of mitzvah srichas kavona. We can show this also from the din of Yibum. The halacha by Yibum is that a person is kaini yivimtai, both beratzen and beinus. Even if by accident he was bel yivimto, without the kavana of any of being yaitse mitzvah, or even without the kavanas be at all, the halacha is that he's kaini yavama. And Tosfos and Yavamas and Daf Gimel Amud Beis understands that the hagdara, the basic concept of yibum, is a geder of asei deichalois asei. And it's mashma also that when a person, even when he's bel yavama beinus, nonetheless he is still in all mekayim the mitzvah of yibum. Now, how can that be? He was not Mekai, he was not Mechavan to be Yetzi the Mitzvah. Don't we say Mitzvah Srichas Kavona? So it could be the answer is the same. In Achinami, the Maisa Mitzvah of Yibum is the Biyah. But the Kiyuma Mitzvah, the Kiyum Mitzvah of Yibum, that's the Kinyan Yavama. That he's Kaina Yavama, that he's Miyabim her, that he's Kaina her, that itself is the Kiyum Mitzvah of Yibum. Therefore, since the Kiyum Mitzvah is outside the Maisa Mitzvah, therefore it is unnecessary to have Kavana Bishas Biyah to be Yaitse the Mitzvah of Yibum. So with this, maybe, we can explain the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchis Kriyashma Alacha Beis says the following. Umakdimin likrais parashashma mipnei shiyesh ba yichud Hashem ve'avosoy v'salmuda yishua ikra godol shakol toluiboy. You read the first parasha of Kriyashma first, because it contains Yichud Hashem, and Avas Hashem, and Talmud Torah, which is the Iker HaGodol Shakol Tolibay. V'acharea, says the Rambam, the second parasha you read, is the parasha of Ehoyim Shemaya. Sheyesh Bat Tzivui Al Shar Kol HaMitzvos. Afterwards he recites parashas V'Hayayim Shemaya, because it has a commandment on the other mitzvahs in the Torah. V'acharkach, and the third parasha is parasha Tzitzis. Why does the Rambam feel a need to explain the order of the three parashas of Kriyashma, based on the fact that some of the parashas contain Yichud Hashem, other parashas contain Shar Mitzvahs, and parashas Sissas contain Tzivoy Zechiras Kol HaMitzvahs? The Rambam should just tell me the order of the parashas. What is added by adding in the various other inyonim that are contained in every one of the parashas? So could be we can say the following. That the mitzvah of Kriyashma, Enochinami, the Maisa mitzvah of Kriyashma, is to read Kriyashma. But the Kiyum mitzvah of Kriyashma is not in the Maisa mitzvah of Kriyashma. The Kiyum mitzvah of Kriyashma is in the Kabbalas Olmechu Shemaim. The mitzvah of Kriyashma be Makabal Olmechu Shemaim through a Kriya. Al Yidei the Kriyas Kriyashma, he is Makabal Olmechu Shemaim. So since the Kiyum mitzvah is not actually centered in the Maisa Mitzvah itself, it is outside the Maisa Mitzvah. Therefore, as we said before, it is unnecessary for the din to have Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. Because Mitzvah Srichas Kavana is only when the Kiyum Mitzvah and the Maisa Mitzvah are one and the same. Here, where the Kiyum Mitzvah lies outside the Maisa Mitzvah, there would be no din of Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. With this, we can explain a couple of other interesting halachas in the Rambam. For example, the Rambam paskins in Halacha Ches, Hakayre Kriyashma, Lo Yirmoiz Be'enav, Velo Yikroitz Besvosov, Velo Yara Be'etz Boisov, Kidei Shelo Tiyeh Kriyasa Yaroi. Vim Osa Kein, Afu Pishi Yotzi Yadei Choy Vasoi, Harei Zimaguna. Says the Rambam, there is a din, that a person should not communicate with someone else, either with his hand, either with his eyes, or with his lips, or with his fingers, during the time that he is saying Kriya Shema. If he does so, he's yotze the mitzvah, but it's improper behavior. If the mitzvah of Kriya Shema would be a simple raw act of reading or reciting three parashiyos, then why would there be a special halacha of kavana in the other parashiyos? If we see that there are certain halachas of kavana in the other parashiyos, kigain this halacha, that it is forbidden to make motions or to communicate with another party, it must be that there is a general concept of Kabbalas Ulmuchu Shemaim that pervades the entire Kriya Shema. And that is the special key in Kriya Shema that we have mentioned before. We could bring another raya from the din of Kara Misnamnem, V'hu Mishenu Or V'lei Nirdam V'shena Yotza. A person who is somewhat drowsy and in between not quite having fallen asleep and not quite being fully awake, paskins the Rambam that he's Yotze. This din is not brought in the Gemara. The Rambam paskins it on his own. What was the Havamina? If the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is a straight Maisa mitzvah, simple raw act of reciting the three parashiyos, what was the Havamina that he wasn't Yotze? He said it. He read it. Elamai, it must be that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is something more than just reading. It's an act of Kabbalah Solmuchu Shemaim. Therefore, the Rambam has a Havamina that maybe you're only Mekayim this mitzvah if you're fully awake. Kamashma on the Rambam that you don't have to, that even a Misnamnim you Yaitse. But if the mitzvah of Kriya Shema would be a simple raw act, then there would be no Havamina that you're not Yaitse the mitzvah. In this previous piece of Torah, what did we do? We solved the difficult Rambam by defining Shadid Mitzvah Srichas Kavona, by defining the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, and through by defining each of these two things in their particular ways, we came to a Hesber in the Rambam. And here is a shir that I did Yeshivas Or Yerushalayim several days ago. If you have a sukkah that is 10 tfachim high, and we know that that is the minimum height of a sukkah, and there are leaves from the palm branches, from the schach, that are sticking it within 10 tfachim. Savar Abai Lameimar Im Chamosim Mitzilosim Kshera. Abai wants to say that if there are so few leaves sticking into the sukkah, that in fact if we totaled up all the leaves together, we would find that they are still not producing more shade than sun. In other words, that amount of leaves would produce in the sukkah more sun than shade. Then the sukkah is kosher, because basically it's considered as if the hutzim aren't there at all, and we still have a dimension, a height of 10 tfachim within the sukkah. Amalei Rava, Hadira Sruchahi. They ain't Hadira Srucha. Rava says, no, it's not true. This is Hadira Srucha. They ain't Adam Dar Hadira Srucha. Most Rishonim learn Shad and Rava, that Rava's coming to argue with Abai. That even though Abai said that the sukkah is kosher, that still, we still have the proper height of a sukkah, Rava says, no, this is Hadira Srucha. And Hadira Srucha is posel for sukkah. However, the Rambam is choylik. The Rambam, in Perek Hay of Hilchei Sukkah, says the following. V'tzorech li'zoyer, shlo yu hutzin v'alin shel schach yordin l'teich asar tfachim, k'dei shlo yetzilai b'yeshivosai. He should be careful to make sure that there are no leaves sticking into the schach, going within 10 tfachim, in order that it shouldn't be uncomfortable for him when he sits in the sukkah. So it's mashma from the Rambam that the Rambam holds that the sukkah is kosher b'di'evit. If so, the Gemara is difficult. What then does Rava mean by Dira Srucha? If the Pashtas, we would say that Dira Srucha means that it's puzzle. But the Rambam is saying, no, it's kosher. So then what did Rava mean to say when he said that it had Dira Srucha? What did he add? The Sukkah is still a little kosher. And for that matter, what's the Machlekes between them? So I suggested the following. The truth is, when we read the Rambam, in Perek Hay of Hilchos Sukkah, we see something very interesting. In Perek Hay, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam makes the following statement. Haschach shel sukkah eino kosher mikol dover. Schach of a sukkah is not kosher from all materials. Ein mesachachin elebed dover shegidule mina aretz. Shenekar mina aretz, veino makabal tuma. Vein reichai ra, veino neisher, veino neivel tami. One does not put schach on a sukkah, anything that grows from the ground, and that is picked from the ground, that is not makabel tuma, that does not have a bad smell, and it doesn't have leaves falling from it all the time. In Halacha Beis, the Rambam continues. So that the Rambam says straight out, that if you actually did put tzchach on the sukkah from something which is, does not grow from the ground, or is mechuber to the ground, or a dover that's makabel tumah, says the Rambam, it's possible. The sukkah is possible. Avalim ober v'sichech b'dover ha'noivil v'noisher b'dover sherech ra k'shera. Shalei omru ein mesachkin be'elu elekidei shalei yaniach ha'sukkah v'yetze. Says the Rambam, if you were oiver and you were mesachich with something whose leaves fall all the time, or with something which has a terrible smell, the sukkah is kosher. Now I notice in this Rambam, number one, a certain redundancy. First the Rambam says, ein mesachichim el b'dover shegidula min ha'aretz. He tells you, you're not allowed to be mesachich with these things. Ein mesachichim. Then says the Rambam, that if you do it, this kind of sukkah is possible, and this kind of sukkah is kosher. But then the Rambam is shver. Halacha Aleph is redundant. Halacha Aleph is what? An introduction. The Rambam gives you an introduction, you don't use these things for making schach. Then in Halacha Beis, suddenly, the Rambam comes telling me, but if you did do it, this is kosher and this is possible. What was Halacha Aleph? It's redundant. The Rambam should have just started the halachas with the first halacha and halacha base. The Rambam should have said, "Sichich bedover shen giduluv min haaretz, abe mechubel haaretz, abe dover shem akabel tuma, psula." Avalim sichich bedover hanoivel v'noisher, bedover shereich ha'irak, shera. Why does the Rambam start halacha aleph with a din of ein mesachachin? What was added in halacha aleph? Also, what does the Rambam mean? Avalim over v'sichich. What was the over on? So I suggest the following. That we find Rashi in Markus Daf Chesamet Aleph, also a Shiltas and Mitzvah Kuf Samech Test, both hold that there is a special mitzvah of Asiyah Sukkah. A person has a mitzvah to make a sukkah. And even if we say that the mitzvah of that the making a sukkah is not actually a mitzvah, but it's only on the status of a Hechsher mitzvah, but at least it's mashma that it is some kind of a halachic entity. For the Gemara says, "Vayter and Daf Mem Vov Amar Aleph, Tana Rabbanan Ha'oisa Sukkah La'atzmoi, Omer Baruch Shechiyonu." When a person makes a sukkah, he makes a shechiyonu. This also demonstrates the idea that Asiyas a sukkah is a halachic entity. It's mechayev dinim. It's mechayev a shechiyonu. I suggest the following: the Rambam holds that there are dinim also in a sukkah. There are halachas in how you build a sukkah. Says the Rambam, "Ein mesachachin ela bedaber shegiduluv min haaretz, shenekar min haaretz, veino makabel tuma, veino reichei ra, veino neisher, veino neivel tumim." Says the Rambam that in the din of asiyah sukkah, we are not mesachich except with something which is giduluv min haaretz, or is not makabel tuma, or does not have a bad smell, or does not constantly give off leaves. Then the Rambam continues in Halacha Beis, if you are mesachich with something which is gidul of min haaretz, or mechubel haaretz, a dover makabel tumah, says the Rambam, then your sukkah is possible. Avalim over v'sichich. What does he mean, over v'sichich? What was he over on? He was over on this din, the din of a siyah sukkah. Lechechil, a person is supposed to make a sukkah which is comfortable, which is proper to use. If you were over on this din, and you made a sukkah which was uncomfortable, or which has a bad smell, the Rambam says it's kosher. But you were over on something. What were you over on? This din of Asiyas HaSukkah. In the midst of these halachas, the Rambam paskins this halacha. V'tzorech lehizoyer, shlo yu hutzin ve'alin shalschach, yardin latech asar tzfachim, k'dei shlo yitzir lehi b'shivasai. What the Rambam means is the following. This fits right in together with all these other dinim. Just like there are dinim to build the sukkah in a way in which it doesn't smell, which it doesn't, in which the leaves don't constantly fall. In other words, there's a sukkah in a way in which it's comfortable. Also, huadin, there's also a lacha to build a sukkah in a way in which leaves don't come in, and that it doesn't make your yeshiva in the sukkah uncomfortable. This is all part of the same halachas. And in fact, the Me'iri on Daf Yud Gimel, which is the makar for this halacha, that you don't build a sukkah from schach, which is reichai ra, or which the schach is noisher v'noivel tamid into the sukkah, there the Me'iri says this is a din in a diras rucha. So all of these halachas fit together. These are all halachas that a person lechadchila should not diras rucha. What if you built a diras rucha? Avalim over v'sichech bedover hanoivel v'noisher abedover shereichai ra shera. In Enochinami, the sukkah would be kosher. but you were over a din in a Asiyas HaSukkah. So it comes out, according to the Rambam, that the Machlokes Abaye and Rav is the following. Abaye says this kind of sukkah is kosher. It is kosher, and there is no reason not to build such a sukkah. Rav says no. A sukkah which has leaves hanging into the sukkah is a dira srucha. It's an uncomfortable sort of a sukkah. And since it's uncomfortable, we don't build lechadchika, which is uncomfortable. There's a din in Asiyas HaSukkah not to build a dira srucha. Says Rava, this is a dira srucha, and lechadchila you should not build such a sukkah. But b'diavad, if you did build it, it would be kosher. The other Rishonim hold that Rava is saying, no, this is a dira srucha, and it's not even a dira at all. A sukkah, besides simply being walls and schach, has to be a dira. This sukkah is a dira srucha, and therefore it is possible. It is not, a dira srucha is not a dira at all. But the Rambam holds that a dira srucha is a dira, and mitzad the yetzim chefts of the sukkah would be kosher. It is a dira. What, according, what are you over on? You're over on this special din that you're supposed to build a sukkah with in a form which is not a dira srucha. A dira srucha you're not supposed to build. You're supposed to build a dira that's comfortable. And this dira which is uncomfortable, this dira lechachila should not be built. Im over v'sichech, if you were over and you built such a dira, it is kosher b'di'evid. Now you see what was done here? We had a kasha. What does the Rambam mean? What's he saying? We defined it in the din of the Rambam. We categorized it. It's a din in Asiyas HaSukkah. By defining these dinim of the Rambam as being dinim in Asiyas HaSukkah, we have explained a whole series of halachas in the Rambam and come out with a rather clear mahalach in what the Rambam means. And this mahalach of learning may seem somewhat difficult to some people. It may seem perhaps over their heads. But the truth is that appreciating this Derech HaLimud takes time. I remember many years ago going for a walk with my father-in-law. He asked me the following question. There's a mitzvah in the Torah of V'chiso Dam Be'ofer, that the blood of slaughtered fowl and what are called the chayus must be covered with offer. But the Gemara also says that ground up gold is kosher for Kisui Adam. How can this be? The Torah says that you have to cover the dam, and ground up gold is not offer. So he asked me that question, and I kind of shrugged my shoulders. So he looked at me and said, we see from here that with regards to the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, ground up gold has a shame offer. So I gave him what was probably kind of a funny look. And he said to me the following. I didn't appreciate it at first either, but give it time. The same is true for all of you. Give it a chance and give it time. With the proper rebbeim and the proper training, you too can begin to use this Derech HaLimud and be like the 17-year-old Bacher that we mentioned on side one of this tape, answering Rabbi Kiviger's kashas.